From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted to have you with us for today's program. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For a number of months, Dr. Cairns has been bringing studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he concludes a two-part message entitled, A Glimpse of the Glory of Christ, dealing with our Lord's Transfiguration. In drawing this message to a conclusion, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that the Christian life is a marathon, and the secret of running it successfully is to get a sight of Christ. First of all, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, Add Adulterous Preachers to Sex Offenders List.
Now, here's a radical idea. The state maintains a sex offenders list, or at least is supposed to. On it are supposed to be listed all those who have molested children or have committed other aggravated sexual crimes. I'm all in favor of that list being kept and of its contents being made as public as necessary to protect both children and women from brutal sexual predators. But what about churches maintaining a list of immoral characters whose crimes do not earn them a place on the state list? What about churches placing the names of preachers who have had extramarital affairs or who have gone into adulterous relationships on a list that congregations may consult before accepting the services of a new minister? Anglicans in Australia are enforcing a stricter code of conduct with a proposal for its national church database of child abusers to include ministers accused of extramarital affairs. Some critics argue that marital infidelity should not be included alongside child abuse in the register. Others fear that in an age of political correctness, complaints could be made on the basis of even a misinterpreted wink. I must say that the Australian idea is not a bad one, though it has some possible inbuilt legal and moral difficulties. The register will be based on complaints and include accused church workers, even if the accusations against them are unproven. Only if the accused is completely cleared of the allegation will the minister or church worker's name come off the list. This is a little foggy, even dangerous. For all it would take to destroy a man's reputation would be an accusation from one person without any corroborative evidence. There have been cases where such accusations have been made and have been widely publicized. I recall a case of a prominent radio personality here in the upstate of South Carolina being accused by two young teenagers. His name was blasted all over the press. Only one major radio personality was willing to step out on a limb and tell the public that as one who knew the man, he rejected the story as a fabrication. And it was a fabrication, through and through, and the girls later admitted to making up the entire story. But in many cases, liars will stick to a story, particularly in cases where there's only one accuser with no corroboration. It seems a little unfair, even unscriptural, to condemn a man who is vulnerable to wild accusations from people he has crossed in some way or other. Having entered that caveat, I'm all in favor of ministers and church workers being vetted as thoroughly as possible. There is no place in the ministry for adulterers. I say, identify them and exclude them. And I would go further and add homosexuals to the list. But, you say, Cannot God forgive them? Praise God, he can. However, that's between them and the Lord. Any man whose moral character is suspect must never wittingly be let loose in congregations where he may all too easily find fresh targets for his lust. Adulterers and abusers should never think that they can gain unhindered access to positions of leadership in churches. They should not be allowed to hide under the anonymity of a policy of non-disclosure. Some sins cast long shadows. As far as the ministry is concerned, ministerial sexual abuse or infidelity should never emerge from those shadows. The sin may be forgiven. The trust that allows a man into the ministry can never be restored in such cases.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
On the Mount of Transfiguration was a view of what his glory will be as the mediator exalted to the right hand of God. The glory of his face, his personal holiness. The glory of his raiment, his glorious righteousness. The glory of his people who appear with him in glory. Now when we catch that, we can understand Peter saying it's good for us to be here. Let's remain here forever. They couldn't then. But bless God, there's a day coming when we will see him and we will be with him forever. That's why it was given. And of course, finally, it was given to assure the disciples. So it said they couldn't understand the suffering, the death, and they had no idea what this resurrection meant. I want us to get a very simple lesson here. The Lord Jesus gave them this in advance to ward off their disappointment, to save them from the disillusionment, so that they wouldn't plumb the depths of the depression that they felt as they stood at the cross. He gave them this sight of the glory in order that they would have something to hold on to in the darkest hour. Do you know what the tragedy is? They had all this, and they forgot it. At least they forgot it to the extent that when they stood at the cross, it didn't do them that much good. Is there any evidence that standing there, James and John, and away in the outskirts of the crowd, Peter, who said he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, a cowering figure who had denied his Lord, who had backslidden, fearful of the taunting words of a slip of a girl, is there any evidence that those men standing there looking in the awful scene at Calvary had one thought of the Mount of Transfiguration? One thought of the glory that had been seen, that they had seen? Is there the slightest idea given in Scripture that these men benefited from what the Lord had given them? Not at all. And I want you to think of this. I don't want to equate things that are not equal at all. We will never, no matter what we go through in this life, we will never have an experience like having to stand at the cross. But we are going to go through dark days. We are going to go through them. We have the dark day of apostasy where we see Christ put to an open shame, even by those who name his name. We have the dark days of the complete disemboweling of what was once a Christian society to now make it a foul and filthy thing. That's what we have got to. I detest Muslim terrorism with all my heart. And I would make no excuse for it whatsoever. But I would say this, it is an indication of how absolutely hellish this society has got when a heathen religion can make as its excuse for its actions the decadent morals that America is pouring like a sewer pipe into the world. And why we reject the religion that makes the accusation, and we oppose the terrorism that it spawns, let us not fool ourselves that there's an awful lot of truth in the criticism. We have seen this society disemboweled of everything decent, and it's as rotten and filthy and ripe for the judgment of a holy God as any society since Sodom has ever been. As Christians, we see that, and we say it's a dark day. And then we have the dark days of our own lives. We have people in this church at the moment who are fighting for life. And for them, it's a dark day. Every one of us, if we live long enough, are going to face sickness and suffering and loneliness and death. Don't hide behind your youth, for I have seen young people in this place of affliction right beside the old. Don't blind yourself and say it'll never happen to me, for man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We are going to face dark days. The Lord Jesus has given to us what he gave to his disciples. He has given us a preview of his glory. He has emphasized his victory. He has shown us his exaltation. Paul says, let me quote him again, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We have seen the end of the story. We have understood from his word and by the witness of his spirit the end of the story. Let us therefore learn the lesson and not repeat the error of Christ's disciples. We have a glorious Savior. Let us bow to him, follow him, serve him. And even though we suffer, let us remember we will reign with him in glory, because he reigns in glory. Remember what I said from Hebrews 12:2, the sight of the glory in Mount Hermon strengthened the body and soul of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sufferings to come. It was because of the joy that was set before him. It was an account of seeing the glory, the end, the exaltation, the reward. It was because of the glory that was set before him that he endured the cross and had strength to despise the shame. That's how we also will get the strength to endure. In a day of apostasy, how are we going to stay right? By getting a sight of Christ. In a day of the disintegration of society and the morals that held this society together, how are we going to stay upright? By a sight of Christ. In a day of personal suffering, physical agony, mental depression, loneliness, struggling with death working in our members, how will we remain faithful? Through a sight of Christ. As we leave this morning, I want you to take with you the exhortation of Hebrews 12, those first three verses. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, it's so easy to say that. But what are the weights you're carrying with you? What are the buckets of worldliness that you're trying to carry with you as you're seeking to run the race of life? What are the weights? You can't run while you're carrying weights. You lay us. Did you ever see an Olympic sprinter walk to the line with a bucket of water in each hand? Did you ever see him even bring a little training weight with him? Never. I never forget a Scottish swimmer swimming in the Olympic Games in the semi-final. He made himself ready and right to win that heat. But he kept one thing back, because he knew if he was going to win because of an Australian opponent, it would be by a hundredth of a second. They were so close. So between the final and the semi-final and the final, he took a razor. And he was a very fair-haired fellow, and so there was a little fuzz in the arm, a little fuzz in the body, and it was all shaved off, that there was not left a single hair to drag him back in the water. And that's what made the difference. He did win, literally, by a hair's breadth. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. The idea there, remember that in the East they wore long robes. The idea there is of anything that would get between your legs and trip you up. Anything that would make it easy to stumble. Get rid of it. Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Don't put up with it. Don't come to terms with it. If you're serious about going on with God, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. With patience. The idea of patience in the New Testament, the word simply means endurance. The Christian life is a marathon. Not a sprint. It's a marathon. Run with endurance. How do you run with endurance? Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How are you going to get the endurance? Catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ. We have a Savior who lived and earned heaven. We have a Savior who died and put away every obstacle to our entering into heaven, removing sin and satisfying the wrath of God against it. We have a Savior who rose from the dead and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look unto him. Look to him if you want to be saved. I want you to understand this. If you want to be saved, look to him. That's how Spurgeon was saved. He heard the message, "Look unto me." If you're saved, you want strength to endure, look unto him. If you're going through darkness and even facing death, look unto him. May the Lord indeed be pleased to give us a glimpse of the glory of Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.